And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Hope and Chris finish the last episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. Luckily, dependable Dave Filoni and crew create Rebels with new characters, new places, and new adventures, thus keeping hope alive for this podcast. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi.
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars Rebels. In this episode, with the Rebellion in desperate need of pilots, Sabine goes undercover as an Imperial cadet to recruit defectors, including the confident and gifted Wedge Antilles and Hobby. And just FYI, it didn't have Hobby listed in that recap on Wikipedia. I added him. There will be, hey, Hobby and Wedge! And this week, bitches get stuff done. Both the good bitch, Sabine, and the bad bitch, Arinda Price. We're talking about the Antilles extraction this week. How you doing, Cleus?
Good.
We're on Trailer Watch 2019 because we are recording this October 21st, and the last Rise of Skywalker trailer is supposed to drop tonight, so Trailer Watch 2019. I'm already excited because they released an image, and I was like, is that the ghost? Is that the ghost in Tross? What? And I'm like, I'm trying not to get my hopes up, but like Rebels Twitter was panicking today. Like, I was actually talking with Jonna Marie earlier, and she's like trying not to freak out at work, trying not to scream at work, and I'm like, I know, Jonna, I know. And then my friend Gabby kicks in the door and she's like, what if it's Jason? And I'm like, Gabby, what if it is Jason? And I'm like, don't freak out at work, don't get my hopes up. Because I have
your
like
hopes up.
I know. Well, that's the thing, I like the sequel trilogy, it's not my favorite, like, you guys know me, like, and there's a reason we do an animation podcast, because, animation is my jam, so I'm like, yeah, like, I haven't, like, felt like, I want to see Tross, I'm excited for Tross, but I haven't been, like, hyped for Tross, and to know that, like, even if it's just the cameo, and it's the ghost flying around, like, that fucking gets me hyped. Someone thinks they see, like, the outline of the Colossus in that image, too, but it's a stretch. It's like, there's a ship in the background that's pointy. It might not be the Colossus, but people are looking for it.
Oh, well, they're gonna break YouTube when it drops tonight, then.
I know. Apparently tickets are already on sale, so I texted Paige. Paige is my Star Wars buddy. She's the one that went with me to Solo. And after Solo, we, like, the two women were having to explain to the men why Darth Maul was alive, because we were the only people who watched Clone Wars. So, like, Paige is, like, my animation Star Wars buddy, so I should get her on the show sometime. I never thought about that. Like, she lives, like, 10, 15 minutes away from my house.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I never really thought about that. Like, Paige would be great to have on the show. She's fun, she's loving, and I love her to death, and I never... It would give me an excuse to see her because we have different schedules, so I never get to see her. I should get paid.
Just describe her as fluffing.
Yeah, she's awesome. Like, if you've ever been to Dragon Con, you're familiar with the crew shadows, and she's one of the fairies that promote the crew shadows. Like, she's, like, super goth, but she's, like, the sweetest goth you'll ever meet, and I love her to death, and we've been needing an excuse to get together and have wine. I need to call her. Put Paige on the show.
Wine's always a welcome addition to the show.
Yeah, wine and cats. So, but did you have a good day? I talked to you yesterday.
Yeah,
so.
I did.
I got a free sopapilla with my dinner, so that was exciting.
Sopapilla.
Yeah, we tried out a new little restaurant, and when we mentioned that it was our first time, as we were getting the check, the guy was like, "Give me 2 minutes," and he left. And me and my dad were like, okay. And he came back with a sopapilla, and I was like, and it was funny because I had just told my dad, like, earlier in the day, I was like, man, it's been years since I've had a good sopapilla, and he brought me one, and I was like, yes!
I worked in a Mexican place, so we could have them on. All we had to do is just grab a little piece of dough, right in the fryer. Yum, yum, yum.
Yeah, I had a free sopapilla and it was delicious. So it was like the death, like the world knew I just needed a sopapilla tonight. So, well, you ready to get started with the episode?
I am.
So I just want to give a reminder before we get started. We are watching this show from the point of view of people who have seen all of Rebels. So we're spoiling stuff. Like, we're going to be talking spoilers because we're looking at this as people who know Agent Kallus's full story. So if you're just watching this for the first time and you haven't seen the rest of the show, I'm going to tell you now to stop. Because don't just stop listening to this episode because we're going to be spoiling parts of Agent Kallus's character for future stories. So, yeah, I just wanted to throw out that reminder. So, because it's subtle,
unless
but
you
I
don't
do
care, and then go ahead.
Yeah.
But don't say we didn't warn you.
So you ready to get started?
I am.
All right. Here we go. The Antilles Extraction is the 41st episode of Star Wars Rebels, and it was released on October 8th, 2016. It's kind of funny, we've been recording these in October, so I keep accidentally writing 2019 with these the last two times we've recorded. And then I'm just like, wait, no, that's not right. It was written by Gary Whitta, who wrote the first draft and came up with the name for Rogue One. And it was directed by Saul Ruiz. Some extra information for you. Rake Gari and Instructor Gorin were both voiced by Corey Burton. We're both voiced by Corey Burton. He was also the voice of Count Dooku and Cad Bane in Clone Wars. Derek Hobby Clivian, I hope I said that right, was voiced by Trevor Duvall. His other works include the animated show Guardians of the Galaxy, My Little Pony, Voltron, and Star Wars Freemaker Adventures. Volt Scaris was voiced by Mario Vernazza. Vernazza? I'm sorry, yeah. I'm bad with names.
Looks his like other Vernazza works include, to me.
Yeah. His other works include The Da Vinci Code. And Wedge Antilles was voiced by Nathan Kress. His other works include iCarly, Alive in Denver, and Video Game High School. And I love Nathan Kress as Freddy in iCarly. Sam and Freddy forever! Ah, that was one of the shows I grew up with. So I was like, Nathan Kress! I have a deep love of iCarly. When I was a nanny, that was like my kid's favorite show, and like I really fell into it. I'm just like, the show's really good. I watched iCarly all the time. During the early development of this episode, it was originally titled Darklighter and dealt with the defection of Biggs Darklighter into the Rebel ranks. But the timeline complication with Biggs established in A New Hope scrapped that idea, and they picked Wedge as a candidate instead. Wedge Antilles and Hobby are pilots that made their first appearance in the original trilogy. Sabine never learns Hobby's full name in the episode, hence why she pauses introducing him to Commander Sato. Over a year before this episode aired, the idea that Wedge had some connection to Fulcrum was mentioned in the novel Aftermath, which I am reading now. Yay! Readers at the time originally speculated that Wedge had met Ahsoka Tano, but this episode showed that it wasn't Ahsoka, but, as we'll later discover, Agent Kallus as Fulcrum. With Rogue One writer Gary Whitta joining the writing team, Sabine's alias name, Rhea Tala, was a leftover name from an early version of Rogue One. The wings rigged to pop off the TIE fighters are not to the old Kenner toys, where kids could pop off the wings of the original TIEs with a push button to simulate battle damage. This episode marks the series debut of both the TIE Interceptor and the Rebels transport ship used in Empire Strikes Back. While it's not confirmed, let me stop right here. This is just total fan speculation, but I think it's a very interesting piece of fan speculation. While it's not confirmed, this is not official canon, I want to throw out this fan speculation that ties in with the Resistance. Before the end of Season 1 of Resistance, many fans pointed out that the Colossus and Skystrike Academy have very similar designs. Theories were flying around that the Colossus could actually fly before it ever took to the air because of their design similarities. It is not confirmed that Colossus and the Skystrike are the same kind of ship, but it was just fun because, like, so many people were referring back to this episode. They're like, you know, the Colossus looks like Skystrike. Like, does it fly? And then when it fly, everybody was like, hey, it does! Look at that! So, I just thought that was a fun little note because that was a little fun fandom thing. and finally in Rebels Recon for this episode. They wanted to develop a characters that didn't have much backstory in the original trilogy. Oh my god, I forgot to write a Yoda question! I just saw that. I forgot to put in a Yoda question. Yoda, I'm going to have to say sorry to you in a minute. Sorry, I just saw it in the notes. They wanted to develop characters that didn't have much backstory in the original trilogy, and they pulled some from Hobby's legend story that he was an Imperial defector. Though, Dave Filoni did say that most of the crew was pushing to have Biggs Darklighter and not Wedge in the story. Pablo Hidalgo also made a fun little what-if, because Sabine has checkerboard patterns on her armor in Season 1, and the what-if is... And the what-if is, what if Sabine painted the checkerboard on Biggs' helmet in A New Hope? But the what-if wasn't enough to bring Biggs' story in. They also talked about how Hobby and Wedge thought that they would just be pilots and not cogs in the machine, which is part of the reason why they left. And they also talked about how Sabine went to the equivalent of MIT for Imperial schools. She was a cadet in the best of the best school, which is why she fits in so easily at Skystrike Academy.
Hello!
Yoda, Yoda is
here! Like, ready for Yoda. Questions, Yoda is!
I'm sorry, Yoda. I just saw it. We gotta put it
all week.
I'm sorry. I just realized that we're gonna put in your question. Let me have a question.
Much studying Yoda has done.
I'm sorry.
Her question has.
It's been a busy 2 days. Leave me alone.
Oh, studied everything.
I know. Well, what kind of question do you want people to ask you, Yoda?
Everything. Yoda sees everything. Everything.
I'm sorry, you sound like Bill Cipher from Gravity Falls. I see everything. Everything. I know you don't get that reference.
Yoda answers all questions. Yoda'd rather answer dirty, dirty questions about listeners' personal life.
Okay, well...
Send Yoda pictures. Yoda will answer questions better.
All right, well, I'm going to make up questions on the spot. Rapid fire. Ready? Who was your favorite youngling?
Oh.
That's not rapid fire.
Oh. Little wet security blanket. Windu was cool when was youngling. Yoda liked him then.
Because his wet blanket kept him cool?
Yeah, it wasn't wet then, just security blanket.
Alright, coffee or tea?
Huh? Liquor.
Liquor and coffee and tea.
Coffee, tea, and liquor. Mixed together.
Do you prefer dining out or staying in?
Oh, Yoda cooks for himself. Yeah, it's the only way to stay safe. Yoda had bad experience at Taco Bell.
And I'm trying to think of questions on the spot. Favorite. Cup. Well, that doesn't make sense. I just looked up and I saw it.
Two girls.
Okay, that Yoda!
That cup. Too many questions.
I learned my lesson. There you go, Yoda. I'm sorry I forgot to write you a question. It was just a busy 2 days and I forgot to go back and add in a question. So, I'm sorry. I love you, Yoda. It's not you, it's me.
Look at him just waddling off. Not even saying goodbye.
Yeah, because I remember, like, telling myself, like, make sure I go back and put in a Yoda question, and I just forgot. I literally yesterday worked on podcast outlines, watched Resistance, did a write-up for Resistance, recorded a podcast with you, and then wrote this outline till 10 p.m. while washing clothes and grocery shopping. I worked from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., so I just forgot. life. So... Act one?
I'm ready for act one.
All right. Let me get a sip of my drink. Yep. Act one. We open with some strangers, so I'm betting they're all about to die, and they're not going to be very important. There's a rebel dude bringing some food to a woman on some planet, and they're talking about how pilots for the rebels are a hot commodity nowadays, and they're few and far between. But uh-oh, the Empire shows up, and they decimate the guys. They kill all the rebels, and that's that. So if you want to survive longer than 5 minutes in Star Wars, make sure that you're a named character. We go back to Chopper Base, where everyone is pretty bummed out. The rebels are losing pilots super fast, and everything sucks. Santo brings up that he's getting some intel from Fulcrum, and Ezra's little eyes light up, and he goes, Ahsoka! Oh my god, Ahsoka! Ahsoka's back! Ahsoka's back, you guys! And he climbs on the table to do a victory dance. And then Hera pulls him off the table to explain that Fulcrum is a codename for informants, and Ahsoka was just one of the founders of Fulcrum. And a friendly reminder that Cassian Andor from Rogue One is also a Fulcrum agent. And I want the Cassian show now, guys. I want the Cassian show. Anyway, they play a message from Fulcrum, and he says there are cadets at Skystrike Academy that wish to defect the Empire. Commander Sato wants to act on this now, because they need pilots ASAP. And Hera gives the mission to Sabine to make it look like she's a new cadet. And Ezra goes, hold up a moment. I think I should go. I am the main character, after all. I would have plot armor protecting me at all times, because the show is about me. And Sabine shuts that down real fast, because she was an actual cadet at one point, and she's the least recognizable of all of them. So Kanan and Ezra will shadow for her from afar. Sabine arrives at Skystrike Academy, and man, it really does look like the Colossus from Resistance. She has to have her ID checked by a droid upon arrival, and at first the card gives them some trouble, but Sabine blows on it like an old video game cartridge. They try it again, and it works. She's in! And Ezra is super nervous for her. Sabine starts her infiltration and training with other cadets. She flies with another pilot, and it turns out that it's Wedge Antilles. As they're flying some TIE fighters, they see four rebel ships moving in. They are given command to eliminate all targets. And Sabine is killing rebel ships, which would totally make me freak out, but there's a reason for it, why all this is happening, and why she's calm. We'll get to that in Act 2. And they're given the command to go destroy the main rebel ships. It's disabled and unarmed, and there's a voice crying that they have wounded aboard. Sabine points out that destroying an unarmed ship is against Imperial protocol. But then, out of nowhere, the ghost appears, and it flies in and destroys Sabine's ship. Ba-ba-bum. What do you think of Act 1?
It was pretty good.
Doesn't Skystrike Academy look like the Colossus?
It does a lot. It's a lot more like angular, like skyscraper-like, whereas the Colossus is more like more of a collection of gas tanks. But they're two different functions, but they're probably the same idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if we're getting into the industry of Star Wars world, there's probably some sort of like basic infrastructure for big upright floating things, you know. There's probably some basis in like Cloud City and stuff like that, and the structure we saw Ezra plummeting on a couple three episodes ago. I just like the title of this, the Antilles Extraction. It sounds like Wedge has like a toothache, has to go get like his wisdom teeth out. I like at the beginning, Ezra tries to budge in on the mission, get shot down. And yeah, Skystrike, just the station in the orange atmosphere and clouds looks really cool.
It's so pretty.
And my only other note is, I like how Ezra doesn't understand how Space Anonymous works. That like, anybody can use a voice changer, dude. Otherwise, yeah. It was okay. It's your standard.
Yeah. I feel like I should go ahead and get this out of the way before we get into the notes. Like, it's cool that Witch and Hobby is there, but Chris and I kind of don't care. Which is fine, and Hobby's fine. Like, they're characters and they're cool, but, like, I don't have, like, a deep attachment to Wedge or Hobby. So it's just, like, this is the cool thing. That's the extent of my excitement.
I will reveal in Act 3 why I'm not so hot on... I like Wedge just fine. And, like, I have an extra, like, bent towards him because when Scott Gardner and I made our parodies... When we ran out of Star Wars movies to parody and wrote our own, like we fleshed out. I played the character of the Wedge character in that, and he became more of a, you know, an active character in the story. So like I kind of have a fond spot for Wedge, but really he was like Star Wars and Jedi for all of, Star Wars and Jedi. I maybe in Empire 2 mentioned in Empire or something, but. You know, for what, maybe like 15 seconds and mostly just like saying stuff like they're right behind you and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
you know, whatever. It's like, oh, cool. Wedge is going to be here. And we find out how Wedge started. And, you know, as we find out, he doesn't really become a really like huge character in Rebels anyway.
I mean, that's why like I like Grande and Thrawn as much as I do is because, like, me and Megan roleplay the character and I write them. And so I have a deep fondness to them because, like, we've built this, like, deeper story for them and we've given them background and canon and stuff within our own universe. And we, especially right. Grande, like, we fleshed him out. I've given him a name. I've written his parents. I've written his niece. Like, I've written his family. Like, so I've, like, fleshed out this character. I've named him, like his real name and stuff. So, like, I get that, like, I think, we were talking about this a little bit before the show, but, like, I understand, like, why Wedge and Hobby are people's favorites, because I'm the same way, like, I will see a background character, and I'm like, you're my favorite, and I love you, and you're only here for 20 seconds, but you're my favorite, and then, like, I'll glom onto that background character, and I'll love them forever and always, like... Like, another example is, like, Dr. Whale and Jefferson in Once Upon a Time. Like, I love Once Upon a Time, and, like, they are the minorest of minor characters, especially Jefferson, because Sebastian Stan then went off to Marvel World, and they never used him again. But, like, I love those characters, and still to this day, they're, like, my two favorite characters. They're barely used in the show, and I love them so much. So I get why, like, people like Wedge and Hobby. So, like, it's just, if you're here for us to talk about, like, Wedge and Tilly's character and Hobby's character... I just don't want you to be disappointed because, like, they're not things that we're glomping onto because they're just not our jam. So I'm sorry. I just want to say that up front.
I don't think they gave us an awful lot to glom onto besides his name, really. I don't think so far there's much personality to him besides just that, like, he's a good-natured guy who's a really good pilot.
Yeah. I mean, I do like that we're getting his, like, earlier stuff, though, because then, like, when I watch the original trilogies and I see Wedge, I'm less like, oh, yeah, he did the thing with, like, Skystrike.
I remember when he was a baby-faced little kid.
Yeah, and like, as I'm reading, I'm reading Aftermath right now, and I read Lost Stars a few weeks ago, and Wedge is in both, and I'm just like, hey, it's Wedge! Like, that's cool, like, I remember him from Rebels. So, like, Rebels is helping me, like this character in other work, but I just wanted to say up front, like, this is not the Wedge and Hobby podcast. I am so sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
For my notes, my first one is, if you're not a named character in Rebels, you might as well be a red shirt in Star Trek.
You're probably going to die in the first act. Yeah, just like a red shirt.
Yeah. I thought you would be so proud of me. I made a Star Trek
reference. You're most likely going to die before the even credits, just before the credits roll.
Yeah. I remember... when this episode first came out, how Rebels lifted me up and then threw me down on the cement really hard in a span of 3 seconds because they brought up Fulcrum. And I did the Ezra. Like, my brain went, Ahsoka. And then not even 2 seconds later, they explained that it's not Ahsoka. And so I felt that. Like, the first time I ever watched this episode, I felt that. I was just like, ah! And then they threw me down on cement. And I was like, ah, Ahsoka's still dead. So I just wanted to throw that out because that's like such a visceral memory of this episode. Like when it popped up again, I remembered that so hard. When I rewatched it, I was like, oh yeah, that was so painful. Now that I know that Kallus is Fulcrum, I can totally hear that it's him and his fulcrum message.
Yeah.
Like, he has, Kallus, and a lot of this is how David Oyelowo portrays him. He has a certain pace when he speaks. Like, he has this kind of slower pace when he talks, and it's very measured. And he said the phrase, "Might I suggest," which he has
he
said.
He sounds like he comes from a cultured, wealthy family, you know?
Yeah, well, he's from Coruscant, so Kallus' character is from Coruscant. So, I mean, that's nicer. But, yeah, like Kallus has said before in the show, "Might I suggest blah, 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 blah." So, like, now that I know it's Kallus, I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I can totally hear it and make it out. Like, Ahsoka as Fulcrum was a little bit harder. Like, once I knew it was her, like, you can kind of hear Ahsoka's voice in there. But they do a better job disguising it. But, like, now I'm just like, yeah, it's totally Kallus. They pointed out a good point. Like, Sabine always wears her helmets in fights, so it's true that she really is the least recognizable of all the Ghost members.
Yep.
I thought that was a very, very, very good point, because I was like, yeah, that's true. Most people don't know what Sabine looks like. There's a lot of nice little fake-outs in this episode, too. Like, when we see Sabine, quote-unquote, killing Rebel ships, but we're about to find out that it's a simulator.
And you know really something's up with it, because she's not being like, should I do this? She's just like, okay.
Yeah.
And she's like, should I shoot this ship, or are they just testing me to see if I'll shoot this ship, you know?
Yeah, it's because I remember when I watched this for the first time, because this is when the first commercial break happens, and I was like, oh my god, like, Sabine's killing Rebel ships. Like, what's going on? Because it's actually set so well. Like, it's framed so well. It does not look like it's a simulator. And so, I also love just the shot inside the TIE fighter. I think it's a really cool shot. As, like, it comes around, you see the other ships. It's just really nicely done. But, like, it's a nice little fake out. Like, of course, now that I've seen the episode, I know it's fake. But it's just nicely done. But this also, the show shows why the Empire is so evil. They have a simulation of disabled ships, and they're actually playing audio of people dying on board and pleading for help and telling them to take kill shots. It's just so good.
Of course, that's what they would do, yeah.
Oh, now I wish that you've watched Resistance, because something kind of similar happens in the episode. Oh. And it's good. The episode Lifefire just came out, and it's might be my favorite episode of season 2 so far. So, but yeah, that's all I had for Act 1.
I'm ready for Act 2.
Act 2. You might need to help me. Well, I wasn't sure. I wanted to try and come up with a nickname for somebody, but I couldn't think of anything. So, you know, I need your help on this. So,
maybe I'll think of one when we get to it, yeah.
Yeah. Act 2. Sabine didn't blow up. She's fine. It turns out it was all a simulation, and she wasn't actually killing rebels. But she is pissed off and goes right up to the asshole in control. His name is Instructor Goron, and he's not pleased that to have a teenage girl yelling at him. But then, another dramatic asshole comes out of the third simulation pod and dramatically descends downstairs with smoke and fog stuff all around him. And this is Captain Scarris. Now, Captain Scarris is going to be in the show for a little bit. He's going to pop up throughout the last seasons and stuff. So I do want to give him a nickname, and I came up with Captain Stash, Captain Evil Stash. But I don't know. Captain Scarish, Garrett, Captain... We have time to think of a nickname, but he's just so dramatically evil that I'm just like, you need a nickname, but I'm just drawing blanks on you right now. Scarris, mansplain... Scarris mansplain what the ghost is to Sabine. Like, it's not her home. I just love that moment, because he's just like, well, this is the ghost, and Sabine's just like, I feel you, girl. I understand that. He says it's important for her to follow orders, because the rebels will use any ship they can get their grubby little hands on. And Scarris gets in Sabine's face, and you can just tell she's just trying her hardest not to punch this guy right in the teeth. And once they all leave, Wedge is like, hey, that wasn't smart. And Sabine points out that it's not right to fire on unarmed ships. And Wedge points out that that's a great way to die in the Empire. But then, another shuttle arrives. And it's my evil bitch baby girl, Arinda Price, Hey, Ari. I love our Enterprise, you guys. And she's also joined by Alexander Kallus. Kallus explains that the ISB got word that there are defectors in the cadets, and he's here to see to the defecting cadets. Wink, wink. The instructor is taken aback, like, oh, my cadets? My cadets are the best. I made sure of it. My job depends on this. And Price says that she's going to do a thorough investigation, and Kallus should pay attention. And Kallus is like, bitch, I've outlived Tua, Grande, two Inquisitors, and crash landing on an ice planet. I'm good, bitch. What are you going to teach me? Meanwhile, Sabine overhears Wedge talking to two other pilots about, holy shit, the Empire is here and they're on to us. And they're all trying not to panic, and they separate. And Sabine follows Wedge out into the hangar, which is surprisingly empty for plot reasons. To make sure she is right about this, Sabine fishes for Wedge, going, look, I love the Empire, but I didn't sign up to fire on unarmed ships. And Wedge is like, thank you, I know! That's such a dick thing to do! I just wanted to, like, upgrade from my dead-end truck driving job. I didn't sign up for this. And Sabine slides in, going, you know, there are, wink, wink, other options. And Wedge is like, go on. And Sabine is like, do you know what I'm talking about? And Wedge is like, I think I know. Do you know what I know? I think I know what you know with that I know. And Sabine is like, cut the crap. I'm Sabine and I'm here to get you out of here and the other pilots. Go get them. And Wedge is like, awesome, what's the plan? And Sabine's like, I don't fucking know. We'll figure it out as we go. Let's go. Meanwhile, Ezra is crawling up the walls of his ship. And Kanan is like, oh my god, child, sit down. You're making me nervous. Back with the bad guys. Kallus and Snidey instructor come up to Price. And they say that they're almost done with their investigation. And they can't find anything. And Price is like, oh my god, you're both useless. It's my turn now. Let's get them back into space, shall we? I went the wrong direction. Notes go down. As they're called back to their ships, Wedge introduces Sabine to Hobby and Rake, the other two pilots that wish to defect. Sabine has a plan now. Once they're in space, they're going to make a break for it and call Ezra and Kanan. Rake is not really excited about this plan, because Sabine is gambling with their lives. They all hop onto their TIE fighters, and Sabine makes the call to Ezra to come get them. And they all take off, and head on to space. And the instructor gives them the order to simulate a dogfight, as Kallus and Price are watching. And I didn't notice this until later, but Captain Scarris and three TIE interceptors go up with the cadets too. But they don't do anything, so I guess it really doesn't fucking matter. They get the word, and they all start their training run. Sabine and her friends are all playing along, and they're keeping an eye out for their ride. And bam! Ezra's ship comes out of hyperspace, and Sabine and friends make a break for it. And Price gives them one friendly warning call, and Sabine goes, fuck off, old lady! And Price is like, well, there's our defectors! And Ari pushes a button, and all, by the way, my nickname for Arinda Price is Ari, so if I say Ari, that's what I'm saying. Ari pushes a button and the wings fall off the TIE fighters. And Rake was right to be wary about Sabine risking their lives, because Scarris shoots his TIE and kills him. Scarris goes in for Ezra's ship and gets in some good hits. Ezra wants to stay, but Kanan overrides him, giving the command to leave while they can. They jump into hyperspace, leaving Sabine, Wedge, and Hobby behind. What'd you think of Act 2?
It's a little more action. The only note I have about, like, the characters, that instructor guy has probably the prissiest voice of any Imperial we've ever heard in our... He's just like...
There's actually a moment I had to laugh because it's the scene where him and Kallus are walking up to Price to say that they're almost done, and he literally starts to set his sins going, Governor!
Governor! Yeah, it's insane. He's ridiculous.
Governor! And I was like, oh, God, you are Imperial.
But there's all sorts of skullduggery going on. It's like they talk about, you know, there being rebel spies there with the cadets right there. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I was like, why are they doing that right in front of a bunch of cadets? And I'm like, oh yeah, to get them all stirred up to see if they can scare out the, but like, I have a little problem with Sabine's method, because I realize why she sort of called out her commander there to, so she could get a conversation going with whoever the cadets were, because they would probably be like, oh, here's somebody who's got like a working soul or whatever. But I think she should have just like played up, leaned into being a gung-ho Imperial. She should have probably just blasted the medical ship, or been like, I was going to blast the ship, but I thought you guys were testing to see if I would, you know, because that's against the law or whatever. And so I didn't want to get caught. And they would like, no. And then they would have been like, oh, at least she wanted to. So then when Ezra shows up, they could fly towards him, and instead of going, fuck off, old lady, she could sort of go, fuck off, old lady, but it would be like, it would be more like Poe at the beginning of, you know, The Last Jedi, where he's just like, I'm going to attack, you know, and they could have been like, a rebel ship, we're going to go get it. We're right here. We're going to get it. Come back. No, we're right here. We're going to get it. And then like scooted in there, and they could have bought him some time. But other than that, it was, It was pretty fun.
I like
the whole training exercise stuff.
I'm gonna hold up for a second, because I have a, I agree and disagree with that last note of yours, because I do like that. I think that's a good point. Like if she had leaned into it and they all leaned into it, that would have been a good cover. But I actually thought Sabine was very tactful calling out the instructor, because it made it easier for Wedge to find her.
Right.
Because at first I was like, well, this is kind of sloppy on Sabine's part. But then I was like, actually, no, like she's purposely writing those lines, and she's doing it before. So like, I actually liked it. I didn't have a problem with it. So.
It would have been, she ended up finding him though, just by sheer luck though, in the end, you know, I mean, it would have helped her. It helped her when she approached them that they were like, oh, okay, she might be, you know, sympathetic to us. But, you know, I mean, she figured out who the defectors were by overhearing them talking about, you know, getting caught. So.
Cause I would think if she leaned in hard on it, it would have made them avoid her.
Yeah, but she still would have overheard them and said, look, I'm a, you know, they might not have trusted her as much. I don't know. I didn't think it was an unwise plan, but I would have
You know, with them all investigating it, if she had leaned in acting like super Imperial, and like then she came up, she's like, I'm the rebel defector. I could see them going, this is a trick. Bye. And not trusting her. So I see your point. I kind of agree with it. But I also like, I think it's done really well the way it is, too. So. But you.
Yeah, they could have bypassed. They would have had to just do a rewrite and bypassed it. Like, so where all she had to do is give them the code word or the contact name or something.
Yeah.
You know, and they would have been like, oh, she's the bad guy. And she's just like, contact, Fulcrum. And they're just like, oh.
Fulcrum.
Oh, sneaky, 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 Fulcrum.
That's funny. I just like her. I just imagine her doing finger guns and putting on some shades and going, Fulcrum.
Fulcrum. Just pulling out a little card that says Fulcrum on it with a little Fulcrum symbol on it. Yeah.
And then like, Cal's would be the stupid one to poke his head out. And he's like, did someone call me? No, okay. Bye.
But that's all I got for part two.
For me, I'm going to get my first simple note out of the way. Hey, look, it's Hobby. That's the extent of my excitement.
Hey, Hobby.
Hi, Hobby. I love the look of the Imperial test simulator pods. They're just like this kind of like ship thing that like roll around. But they're just really cool looking. They have like the kind of fog coming out of them, and like how they roll around and they turn. They're just really cool looking.
They're like real airplane simulator pods.
Yeah, they're really, really cool. It's so good to see Kallus again. We haven't seen Kallus since Honorable Ones. It's literally been a hot Kallus minute since we've seen him. And I miss him. I love Kallus.
I know. We know. We all know.
And
we all know Hope.
At first, like, I was a little bit... When Kallus first arrives with Arinda, he says that ISB got word that their cadets wanted to defect, I was just like, oh no, like that's like, did he set this up so he could be there? And then I was like, oh my God, ISB probably found out and he probably volunteered for this to make sure they get out of there. And I kind of like that. Like now knowing that like Callus is focused.
Yeah, no,
like,
he's totally getting ahead of it.
Yeah, like he probably volunteered for this mission to go, and it's much more interesting.
And he was playing up the like, you know, I came here personally to rout them out, you know.
Yeah. While I was actually talking about this point with Megan yesterday, and she brought up a good point, which is why I'm gonna say my note, and then I'm gonna bring up the point that Megan brought up. While I'm glad that she's here, because Lord knows I love my baby girl, Rinda Price, logically, she has no reason to be there. She's the governor of Lothal. Skystrike Academy isn't on Lothal. It's not even in the Lothal system. It's in the Montross system. She has no fucking point of being there. And then when I brought it up to Megan and I was talking to her about it, Megan brought up a good point of like, well, A, we know that she's friends with Tarkin and Thrawn, and they're trying to find rebels. And so they might be sending her there to look. And she's like, also, this is an animated show. They only have so many bad guys. And I was like, that's all valid points.
Yeah, you might as well go with the ones that work, you know?
Yeah, who's already fully rendered. You don't have to, like, make
right.
a new character.
You got the voice actress. You don't have to get another voice actress.
Which is good, because I actually, the reason I like this episode so much is because of Arinda. So I don't have
Well, they would have had to come up with somebody who was basically her counterpart, you know, but just, like, yeah. from that system. So it's like, why? Yeah.
Like, I will tell you now, almost all my notes from here on out are about Arinda, because I love her so much.
Jeez.
I love her so much. She's so good. I also never realized that Arinda has such dark shadows around her eyes. She has some raccoon eyes, and I noticed it this episode, and I could not stop looking at them. I love her mouthing off at Callus about how she's going to teach him a lesson. Oh my God, she's so sassy. I love her. But something I remembered while watching this, Arinda does not have the best track record with the ISB, which is the Imperial Security Bureau, like, which is what Callus works for. He works for the ISB. Because in the Thrawn novel, she has a terrible track record with them. And Yularen knows that she mass murdered a bunch of people, but he couldn't prove it. So, like, he probably has Callus there to keep an eye on her because she's already a mass murderer. And I love it because she probably thinks that because she outsmarted them once, she can outsmart Agent Callus too. She's the bad bitch here, and I love it. I love Imperial drama. Imperial drama is my favorite because they're all catty bitches, and I love it. I love Imperial drama because they're all catty bitches. I'm wiggling right now. I'm sorry.
They have to be there in the first place.
I know.
The only one, like, that's why Thrawn isn't, like, involved in any of that stuff, because he's got his own little thing, reason for being there, besides,
yeah.
like,
that's actually
climbing
one of my
the
favorites.
Ranks.
That's one of the few parts of Thrawn Treason that I liked, because I'm not a fan of Thrawn Treason. Actually, if you go to Geeky Girl Experience, I wrote a review of the book, but one of my favorite parts of that is, like, Director Krennic and Tarkin just bitching at each other, and Thrawn is just standing there awkwardly like, what the fuck? Like, I'm not part of this. And they're like, well, what do you think, Thrawn? And Thrawn's like, I just want to do my job. Leave me alone. I love it. Catty bitch Imperials are my favorite. What kind of criticism? I'm really unsure how old Wedge is supposed to be here. He looks like he's a teenager, but he seems like like in A New Hope, he looks much older. And A New Hope is only like 3 to 5 years away. Like in A New Hope, he looks like he's like in his 30s or 40s.
War ages, yeah.
And like here, he looks like he's 18, and he's already had another job before the Empire. So it's just
he looks like, he's very baby faced in this, and like teenager, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, it's just, like, a little bit of thing. Like, I kind of wish they took his, like, animated side and, like, put it closer to his, like, A New Hope side. Because I actually wrote Star Wars Explained. They didn't get back to me before recording. I don't know how old Wedge is supposed to be here. I don't know how old Wedge is supposed to be in A New Hope. And so, there's just something not connecting there between the two. I like the reverse Kanan and Ezra in this episode. Because in season one, remember the episode in season one where Ezra was undercover as a cadet and, like, he met all, like, the little bitches and stuff? And
yeah, and Kanan had to pace back and forth in the ship.
Yeah, and, like, Kanan was worried and, like, Hera was telling him to calm down. Well, now it's Ezra that's worried about Sabine and, like, Kanan's the one telling him to sit and calm down. And so I really like that kind of reverse to show, like, how they're both growing. Though, I think we only needed one of those scenes. I think we got two of them. Two scenes where Ezra's pacing and Kanan's...
Yeah, and they're kind of... They're a little redundant. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think we only needed the one. And especially, I think the second one was the best one. Because that's when Kanan dropped, like, the Jedi knowledge of, like, well, you can't do anything about it now. What are you going to do? Like, we just needed one, which would have been nice because it would have gave... I would have liked to see more Hobby and Rake. Rake has... two lines before he dies. I don't care who he is because we don't know him. And Hobby, I don't care about because I didn't care about him anyway. But like that other Kanan and Ezra time in that scene could have went to those two just to develop them a little bit more, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I just needed the one. Clean that up. Let me have some character development with other people, especially Hobby. Which gets all the attention in this, and I'm just like, it would have been nice if like Hobby had like a little extra like. Like one, like little more scene or something. And Rake before he died.
Yeah, something with Rake and with Wedge interacting. So you could at least build Wedge's character a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no like defining characteristic of Wedge, you know? He's just some guy.
He's just a nice old boy that joined the wrong school. Yeah. He's a nice old boy.
He sort of reminds me of old what's-her-name, Sabine's other friend.
Ketsu,
yeah.
He's nice.
He's got a little bit more going for him because he's got some he's shown up in other places, but yeah, there's just not much going on with his personality.
He may be 18 or 30, we don't know. But that's all I had for Act 2.
All right.
Act 3?
Let's finish this puppy off. We're not wrapping it up this time. We're just finishing it off.
Oh my god, I thought about that earlier today. Our whole like puppy, like wrapping up puppies from the last episode. I was just like, oh god. All right, Act 3.
Act 3.
Back at the academy, Sabine, Wedge, and Hobby are in custody by Agent Callus, and my evil, dramatic girl Rinda. Slides in there all evil and dramatically going, hello, children. She reminds me so much of Cruella de Vil. If, like, Cruella de Vil... And I mean that, like, not in, like, the way of, like, killing puppies. I mean that, like, her dramatics are up to 11. Like, she's just dramatic all the time. I love her. Arinda goes, hello, children. I have so many questions. But I do believe I would like my friend, Leia's on the chair... interrogation chair to ask them for me. And she hits the button and it starts sparking and she's like, ha 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 ha. And she picks out Wedge to torture first. And Sabine admits that she's the rebel. And Wedge accidentally says her real name because he's really new to all this rebel stuff. Ari tells Callus, you know, I didn't note it, but I like that moment too. Ari tells Callus to take the boys back to their cell. And Sabine drops the biggest shade at Callus going, well, someone can do your job for you. And this is make fun of Agent Callus Day, apparently. Ari starts digging in Sabine, seeing that she's a Mandalorian, and she's just toying with a young girl. And the moment they get the binders off Sabine, she fucking starts wrecking stormtroopers, and she knocks them out. And it's Governor Price and Sabine Wren. Ding, ding. Round one. Ari gets the first real punch in on Sabine. And Sabine is impressed that some governor knows how to fight. And Ari is like, I learned to fight from my roommate who owns a fighting dojo. And then I had her arrested when I found out she was training assassins. But you can all read that in Thrawn. Ha ha. I'm here to kick your ass. Ding, ding. Round two. And Sabine opens a can of Mando Teenage Rage. And whoop ass, and roundhouse kicks Ari into the interrogation table, where the shocky thing knocks the governor out. Ding ding, it's a TKO! Winner! Sabine Wren. Meanwhile, Hobby and Wedge are in their cells panicking because they don't know how to do this rebel thing, and it's all new to them and is going downhill really fast. Luckily, even though I wrote loosely, luckily Sabine is there to save them because bitches get stuff done. And Wedge is like, Sabine, we were coming to rescue you. And Sabine literally says, that's cute. And they make a break for it. But suddenly, all the hallway doors shut around them. And Kallus walks out, telling Sabine which levels to avoid and what hangar to go to. And Sabine has a gun pointed at him and demands to know why Kallus is helping them. And Kallus says, look, kid, tell my future boyfriend Zeb that we're even now for him saving my life. And he shuts the doors to give them all more time. Sabine, Wedge, and Hobby make it to the hangar and hop into the TIE bomber, which might be slow, but Sabine reasons that it can take a few hits. And they get it up in the air, but Captain Scarris is right behind them. Scarris gets some hits on the bomber, and it looks like it's going down. Sabine can't get a call out to Ezra because the Empire is jamming their comm. But luckily, Ezra's ship zooms out of the clouds and blocks Scarris' shot before they can get blown up. Sabine picks up their ship, and they fly away to safety. Here we go, for the rest from memory. They land on Chopper Base, and Sato is there, and he's like, awesome, we got pilots. And Hera's like, good job, Sabine. And Ezra's like, I'm the main character, it should have been me. And Sabine's like, shut the fuck up. And Sabine's like, this is Wedge, and this is Hobby. They're going to make it to the original trilogy. Wedge lives through the original trilogy. Sorry, Hobby, you're going to die in Empire Strikes Back. And Hobby's like, wait, what? The end. Man, I forgot to write the rest of the notes.
Everything that happens after they fly away to safety is really not, has nothing to do with the story at all. You know, it has adds nothing to the story. It's just like, oh, they get back to the base and meet everybody. That can be implied. So yeah. You didn't really. You just, it's just more succinct than usual.
I know. I did 2 podcast outlines in like 24 hours. It was a lot.
Yeah.
We're taxing
Hope's brain here, folks.
Yeah. I didn't note it. But now that I think about it, and I'm just going to throw this out before this so I don't forget it. I actually kind of like that, like, Wedge is learning to rebel on a fly, and he, like, doesn't know what to do. Like, when he says Sabine's name, and she's like, and now they know my name. And he's like, oh, that's a thing. Sorry. Because I like that he's, like, learning how to rebel on the fly, and he's bad at it. But it's one of those things, like, you know, later on, he's going to learn from that, and he's
gonna
be a better rebel for it. So I do really like that.
He hasn't leathered up yet.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to admit why I don't like the rebels. Here's why I would just normally just be indifferent to the rebels, Wedge. He has no personality. I'm pretty sure he does show up in a couple more episodes, but it's nothing spectacular. But here's the real reason, and it's not it's a valid reason for my own things, but it's he looks like somebody I really don't like that I know in real life. That I really, 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 really don't like. So
there he is. Really?
Yeah. He's a spitting image of somebody that, like,
now,
yeah.
Is the animation one or the actor that plays Wedge?
The animation one. The one in Rebels, as portrayed in this episode of Rebels. His stupid face. So I'm biased against him, but it's not like he's doing anything, and he doesn't act like that person. He doesn't act like anybody, but just sort of a, like, that just him being a little green is the only personality trait he's got, and it's just sort of worn on his face too. But it's like, it's Wedge, but he doesn't become a compelling character. He's just there to be Wedge. Scarris's name is just totally Star Wars. Scarris. Visually, the scene where they're flying around with the smoke trails are really nice, and when the blockade runners is like the head-on shot of the blockade runner leaving the atmosphere is really nice too. But really, it's The only thing that gives this episode, I think, any depth at all is just the scene at the end with Kallus, where he's just like, where Zeb saving his life pays off, you know, with Sabine's life, you know, and some new pilots. But that's about that. I don't think like seeing Wedge and the other guys who I really don't care about. Aren't the main thing that happened in this episode was that, you know, that was the most important thing in the episode. And it's just like a nice little moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I really got on this episode.
I'm looking up. Wedge is in 4 more episodes of Rebels.
Oh, okay.
And I think the only one that he plays a major role is in season 4, because no, it's not even the episode I was thinking of. I thought he was in the episode where Hera crashes and they have to rescue her from Price. But I don't think he's even in that episode. So
yeah,
like he doesn't play a big role, and I agree.
If he'd been a compelling character, I'd remember him. You know, I'd be like, oh yeah, it's okay, Wedge is in the show from now on. And it's just like, oh yeah, Wedge was in the show.
I think it's gonna kind of turn into one of those things that like characters like Wedge and Ketsu, that when they pop up, because like one of the biggest problems I have with Rebels is their use of minor characters. Like the Sumars are a really great example. Like when the Sumars, we had them in season 1, Mr. and Mrs. Sumar, and I talked about it when they showed up. We don't see them again until season 3. And so when they show up in season 3, I don't remember who they are. I had to look up, like, who the fuck are these people and why should I care about them?
Yeah,
and I
was
they were Ezra's family friends from, like, season 1. And yeah. I think that's kind of a flaw from Rebels. And
yeah, no, they don't use their secondary characters as well as Clone Wars did. Unless they're secondary characters that came from Clone Wars. And then they've already got a person. They've come in with a personality intact, so.
Yeah, and I think that, like, Resistance has the opposite problem. Because it's such a small location, I love Resistance, and I love everybody on the Colossus, but there's almost too many characters.
And they're all distinctive, too.
And they're all in one space. And so I have the opposite problem with Resistance, where you have everybody, and it's an entire ship's worth of stories.
I'm okay with that. It reminds me of a Robert Altman movie or something, so I'm okay with that.
The problem I have with it is that, like, there are so many characters that there's just, like, little storylines that are dropped here and there. And a good example of that is Tam and Sonara. Tam and Sonara have a very compelling episode together where they start a friendship, and then they never follow up on that, and then Tam leaves. And now in season 2, Sonara's mad at Tam because she left. And I'm like, well, they only had one episode where they're really together, because there's so many other people to focus on. Like Tora has to have episodes, and Hype has to have episodes, and Captain Doza and Giger, and everybody has to have an episode. So I think, like, Resistance has, while I love everybody, and also I wish that Resistance had another season, just because there are so many characters. I think if they had one more season, they could have kind of, like, spaced this out a little bit more and not have to cram everything in once. So I think it has the opposite problem with Rebels, because, like, I don't remember the episodes that Ketsu's in or Wedge is in. I don't remember. I had to look up who the Mart is another one. We're going to see Mart again at some point, and Mart is from, like, season, like, we're about to meet Mart, and Mart's not even the kid from that they save, that Ezra saves from the cadet school. I don't even remember his fucking name, but he's going to come back. But, like, the cadet kid that Ezra saved in season 1, he comes back at some point, but I don't even remember his fucking name. Like, that's a problem. Like, that is a problem.
Yeah.
I love Arrendar Price.
Because they're all random humans, too. They're not, like, Hondo or Cad Bane.
Yeah. And
you know, that were, like, had these, you know, intense character designs and intense personalities and stuff. They're usually just sort of, like, stock humans.
Yeah, Mart, Wedge, and the kid from season 1 whose name I can't remember worth the life of me, all 3 of them look exactly the same. And that's where Resistance does better. Like, yeah, Resistance has an entire ship's worth of characters, but they all look different. Aunt Z is very different from Orca and Flix. And so while they're secondary characters, you know who they are because they're not all stock human characters. They're designed to look very differently. And so, like the little gremlin guy from season one who tried to steal Kaz's trophy, I don't remember his name, but I know who he is. And if I see him, I know who he is because he's distinctly not human and he looks very different. And that's where Resistance is very strong with his character design. And, like, Rebels just doesn't have that. Like, Wedge, Mart, who we haven't even met yet, and the kid from season one, they all look exactly the same. I don't think I could tell them apart. If you put them together, because I keep thinking that Mart is the kid from season one, and I keep having to remind myself that we haven't met Mart yet. We meet him in a few weeks in Iron Squadron, or whatever the fuck that episode was. Iron Squadron is, like, probably my other least favorite episode of Rebels, so I remember him that he's in that episode, but whatever. Little shavers. I love Arinda Price. I love everything. Bitches get stuff done. Bitches on both sides. Because Sabine gets shit done and Arinda gets shit done. Because I love all the scenes with Ari and Sabine together. Because, like, Ari is just toying with Sabine. And she grabs her face and she calls her little Mandalorian. She's like, oh, little Mandalorian, you finally came home. And Sabine is sassing at her the entire time. And their fight is so good. Like, they're just fucking brutally going at each other. Like, when, like, it's not even, like, because we're so used to seeing, like, blasters and lightsabers and stormtroopers. It's not very often that you see just, like, two people fist up just punching the fucking shit out of each other in Star Wars. It's so good.
It's been mostly Chopper that was been using his fists lately.
Yeah, or Zeb. Like, Zeb, but Zeb usually just, like, takes, like, stormtrooper helmets and smack them together, and that's that. Like, Arinda and Sabine are, like, all out brawling with each other. I just love the scene of, like, Sabine just, like, body-checking Arinda into, like, the torture chair. It's so good. I love this fight. I watched it, like, 4 times because it's my favorite. I also, even though I was like, Arinda has no reason of being here, I really like that she's here. Like, this is really her intro episode. Because we got her in episode 1, and she's just standing around and giving orders. But this episode is really good because it shows why she's such a good Imperial, and she's not fucking around. Like, she figures out who the defectors are, and then she kills one of them, and then she goes toe-to-toe fighting with a Mandalorian. Like, Arinda is a powerhouse character. She's not just a governor like Tarkin, who is like all politics and standing around, and she's not like Thrawn, who just stands on a bridge and gives orders. Like, Arinda will fucking punch a Mandalorian, and I really love her, and she'll kill people. We already know multiple times she's a mass murderer. She has no problem killing Rake, and she's fine with it. Like, they could have captured Rake as well, but she made the choice to have Scarif kill Rake to prove a point. And she's just so evil. And, like, this is such a good episode introducing who Arinda Price is. And I love her. She's so evil. I love her.
I think her raccoon eyes are from lack of sleep over the mass murder.
That's Megan what... says it's bad eyeliner. I think it's supposed
bad eyeliner to cover the circles under her eyes from lack of, from insomnia.
Ladies, please don't put eyeshadow into the bags of your eyes.
Yeah.
It makes you look like a raccoon. But yeah, like, this is just such a good introduction for Ari. I love Ari so much. All right, I want to talk about Kallus for a second. So, watching this now, knowing that Kallus is the Fulcrum agent, they do a really good job of hiding that here. Because, like, of course, not, like, we know that he's there to let the cadets go. But they frame it in a way, because, like, I remember the first time I watched this, and I was like, what is
happening? He's lucky he has such a convenient cover story to give him a reason for doing it without giving himself away to Sabine.
I know, and that's actually my note. Like, they frame it really well to be like, look, Zeb and I are even. He saved my life. You go. We're even now. And it's really a nice cover, and it keeps Sabine from knowing. Because, like, I started thinking about, like, what if he had went, I'm Fulcrum, go. Well, then, when everything that happened with later on in the
season. Well, if they don't get away, that's a bad thing if he told them that.
Yeah, because for one, Sabine, he just spent like two seasons trying to murder them. Sabine would be like, he's the Fulcrum agent, throw him under the bus. But also, like, at the end of season three, like, once they figure out that Kallus is Fulcrum, like, shit goes to hell. Like, they try to multiple times to rescue Kallus, and Kallus is like, I'm fine. Leave me. Let me do my fucking job, you rebels. Like, stop being good guys. I think, like, if Sabine had known and told them, like, hey, I think Kallus is Fulcrum, I don't think he would have been as useful this season. So they do a really good job framing it in a way that's like, he's paying back Zeb. But, like, us, like, now knowing that he's Fulcrum, like, it's so crafty that he's smart enough to not give that away either. So it's just so good. And I love Agent Kallus. I know you were having issues in the earlier seasons with his redemption. How do you feel about it, kind of seeing it like where he is now? How do you think that's going?
Yeah, the same. You know. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm forgetting anything about his redemption from the first time. It was one of the things I paid attention to more than ever. So, yeah.
My last note is I want to open this up to you guys, our lovely listeners, because we said it at the top of the episode, like, Wedge and Hobby are just not our thing. Like, they're fine. Like, they're just there and they're fine for us. But I know that they, to other people, like, they are very beloved characters. So I just want to hear from you guys. Like, I want to know what you guys think of Wedge and Hobby in this episode. I want to hear what you guys, like, thought about them being here. Like, were you excited? Were you, like, happy with how they were treated? Because, like, this isn't the Wedge and Hobby podcast. Like, we just can't give that content to you. So I want to hear from you guys. Like, what did you think of how they were portrayed? What were you think of this episode? How do you think that they're used in the series? Were you happy? Were you disappointed? Like, we want to hear from you, and I want to open this up to you guys. Please give us feedback for this episode. I would love to hear. I want to hear you guys' thoughts, just because we can't give it to you.
I'd love to be into the fact that Wedge is in Rebels, but so far he hasn't done anything that's made me feel like he's a character that I really is going to add anything, you know?
Yeah.
Other than, I fly good.
I fly real good. Green leader. I did actually think about this, and I'm really glad that they didn't go this way, because I think Wedge and Sabine actually have, like, really nice chemistry together, and I mean chemistry as, like, they work really well together. Like, they have a good, like, bouncing off each other.
They're two good pilots, yeah.
Yeah, it's clear that he and Myos are, and, like, when they were flying the simulator, they were kind of bantering a little bit. Like, they work really well together. They have really good chemistry, and I'm just so happy they didn't try to romance them, to throw Ezra into that mix, because if they would have love triangled those three, I would have, like, driven to, like, Lucasfilm and, like, give them a really certain, like, letter of, like, I just approve of love triangles, because love triangles are just so overdone, and I'm glad that they didn't go in that direction. So glad, because I don't want them to love triangle anybody in the show. So, but I could see, like, where I was like, oh, God, thank you for not romancing Sabine and Wedge for Ezra to be jealous. Thank God. Thank God. But that's all I have for this episode. Did you have anything else?
No, I'm ready to score it up.
Score this puppy up.
Well, I was going to give it a 7, but I give it I popped it up a half point for it being, you know, Kallus paying back Zeb to a 7.5, but it could have been an 8 if they would have thrown some Bendu in there, but no Bendu, so 7.5. Decent episode.
Can I also say I like Kallus's little sneers throughout the episode, like, when everyone does, like, I can teach you a lesson, and she walks off, he just sneers at her. I love it. I love catty bitches. My thoughts for this episode, if it's not obvious, in big letters I wrote, I love Arinda Price in this episode so fucking much. I love her. She's so evil, and she knows how to get stuff done. And Sabine knows how to get stuff done, too. Bitches get stuff done. Hobby and Wedge are fine, but I do wish that Hobby and Rake had more screen time. I feel like some of the Kanan and Ezra stuff took away from their screen time. And Kallus is fun. It's really good to see that coming back, to see that kind of circle, and to see him acting as Fulcrum, especially now that we know he's Fulcrum. Like, it's really interesting watching him work now that we know that. Everything, like, this episode's great. It's fun. It's not really impacting, but, like, I love Arinda Price. I love her so much. She is what bumps this episode up for me. I gave it an 8 out of 10, all because of Arinda Price.
Yeah, okay.
I love her sense. So much. Oh, she's so evil. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback from iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. This week, our feedback actually comes from Twitter, from the Twitters. And it's for our episode of Shroud of Darkness. I forgot how to read for half a second. I was like, words. How do I word?
Well, I'll take it from here then, I guess, Hope.
Thanks.
Give you a little break. This one comes from Paul C. Kelly. From Sylvania.
I was like half like noir girl, because when I went, oh yeah, I just vaped, so like smoke was just like slowly coming out of my mouth, like, ooh yeah.
He's from Omaha. He says, Kanan, you can see, is gaining confidence. What do you mean by see? Ha. Huh. I like his I used to go for the crazy ones comment. Used to. Why am I still I shouldn't do my interjections in Paul C. Kelly voice. Sounded like a reference of the history of being a Mac Daddy that I only know about thanks to Hope.
You're welcome. Kanan Jarrus used to be a slut.
Yoda always seems to like to talk to Ezra. Oh my. Also, like the three build-ups at the beginning, middle, and end of the show, starting with kind Anakin on the holocron, then angry Anakin's appearance to Ahsoka, and finally Darth Vader himself entering the Jedi Temple. Oh yeah. You could almost sense that coming.
That's a really good point, because it was very similar to Rogue One. Like, we see Anakin in the back to tank, and then we kind of see the mix of like Anakin Vader like dropping like the dumb pun, and then we see just Vader at the end. And that's
Vader
true. Like,
tearing
see,
it up, yeah.
That's a really good parallel to Rogue One. That's a good point, Paul. So we're doing the gold one this week, because
yes,
our packaging is
gold
coming apart. So if you don't know what we're doing,
Chris hates
Chris hates American Kit Kats, so our friend Dario Gonzalez sends us candy from all over the world to review, and he's Chris's co-podcaster for Eat and Beat It. And this week we're doing the Gavotes bar from France. We're doing this one because my first critique of this is the packaging is not great. Like, it is just all the way open.
Look at the ingredient list on it. Four ingredients. It's a simple, little...
It's like a little biscuit.
Oh, yeah.
It's very stale. You can tell it's been opened in the box for a while.
Yes.
But it's really good. It tastes
it's
just
kind
like...
of like a dry cookie version of baklava.
Oh, yeah. It's very, like, wafer. Like... It's very layery, like, you can see the layers. It almost looks like it was just very, very flat, and they just kind of rolled it into layers, so it's like a layered cookie.
Mm-hmm.
It's very flaky. It's really good, too, because it's not too sweet. I don't like things that are super sweet, so this is really nice.
Well, it kind of tastes like a light, super sweet pie crust.
Like a what?
Like a lighter version of pie crust, like a more crispy version of pie crust.
Yeah!
I like it a lot.
That's really good. The more
I'm kind of digging it. I've never had anything like this.
Yeah, the more I'm eating it, the more I'm liking it. So.
Good.
Alright. Well, that's all I have for the Antilles extraction.
Good work, Dario. I'm eating so much, I'm going to get a cavity and there'll be the Honeywell extraction. Tooth extraction. Ha ha ha. I made the same joke twice.
Well, that's all I have for this episode. Did you have anything else?
Not me.
Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. That's at twotruefreaks.com on the World Wide Web, the www. And that's where we put up all our podcasts. You can see them all. There's a big list of them, and then you can look at them one at a time. You can subscribe to the RSS feed there. If you have like an app that plugs into RSS feeds, you can do it there. You can do it at iTunes. You could subscribe to each show, or you can go to our main feed and get everything, which means you'll just get bombarded with podcasts daily. We are also on Facebook. We have the Two True Freaks podcast Facebook page where we post up all our shows and with links to our website. And we have the Two True Freaks Cantina, which is exactly what it sounds like, a cantina full of Two True Freaks and Two True Freaks listeners. And we can go to Twitter, and there's a Two True Freaks presence on Twitter, run by the legendary Gene Gene, the podcasting machine.
Gene, I was distracted because I was seeing if the trailer dropped yet.
It wasn't prepared. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's sorry. Right. So soon, Hope. So soon.
It has not dropped yet. Sorry, Gene. I was distracted because I was looking on Twitter right fast, and I was like, oh, shit, I heard Gene's name. Oh, panic.
Anyway,
this episode,
that's where they...
man. I have not been together this episode.
That's where they can find me. Where can they find you, Hope? If you even know.
I do know. You can find me at JEisenJedi on Twitter. I run our Twitter account. You can also find me, and also can I just say, hold up for 2 seconds. Jonna and Maul gave a very lovely shout out to us and their episode, A Quick Salvage Run for Resistance, and they told us to, people to check out our podcast. And I just want to say, please go check out Geeky Bubble. They're very lovely over there, and I just want to return the shout out because I love Jonna and Maul. They're so wonderful. They do a really good job, especially talking about Resistance, because they really focus on the positive stuff of Resistance. So, I mean, put it this way, they made Aaron Henley really enjoy Resistance and like it now, so they're really good at their jobs. So
we need to get them back on Rebels again, but then, like, we need to have them, like, on our first episode of Resistance when we get to it.
Yeah, I would love to have them on. But yeah, I just want to throw that out there. Like, thank you, John Emma, for the lovely shout-out in your podcast, so... But you can find me at JGuysAndJedi on Twitter. I run our Twitter account. You can also find me at Hope Molinax on Twitter. I have a website called GeekyGirlExperience.com where I've been writing a lot of Resistance stuff because Resistance has been back and it's on my brain. And every week I'm just like, huh, what if hype died? I don't know. So I've been writing a lot of like speculations and stuff for Resistance. And you can also find me on Archive of Our Own, where I write fan fiction. My main fic is called Forces of Gravity. It's a Thrawn fan fiction. And my side project is The Lucky Leku, where Agent Kallus has to investigate a boy band, because one of them is a rebel spy. Yeah!
That old story.
Next week, we have one of my favorite episodes of Season 3. Wait, hold on. Antilles. I want to make sure it's... Maybe I'm lying. Am I a liar? Go Wikipedia, am I a liar? No, next week is one of my favorite episodes of Season 3. We get the return of my blue husbando. I like Nick. Remember how when we were doing the episode, the opening of the season, I was like, this is not the best Thrawn introduction. We have Hera's Heroes next week, and Hera's Heroes is like a great Thrawn introduction. And I'm like, this is everything I love about my blue husbando. And he hisses. Because Chiss hiss.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Two True Freaks has been brought to you today by Damanzo Core of Milan, Italy, and by the letters F and U.